Our first case for argument this morning is Sims Fingers against the City of Indianapolis. And because of the snow, both lawyers are participating by speakerphone. Mr. Clark, you there?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Ms. Clay?
Yes, I am.
Fine. Mr. Clark, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I am Timothy Clark. I'm counsel for the plaintiff appellant, Ms. Kimberly Sims Fingers. Your Honors, contrary to the sparse findings of the district court below, Ms. Sims Fingers indeed established a prima facie case of wage discrimination under the Equal Pay Act of 1963 and Title VII to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and the City of Indianapolis has failed to meet its burden of proof regarding any bona fide affirmative defense under the Equal Pay Act concerning its wage discrimination against Ms. Sims Fingers. As the court well knows, Ms. Sims Fingers establishes her prima facie case under the EPA by showing that she was paid lower wages than at least one male park manager for equal work requiring substantially equal skill, effort, responsibilities, which was performed under similar working conditions. To meet this equal work requirement, the work need not be identical. It's sufficient if the job duties are substantially equal. It is undisputed that Ms. Sims Fingers established the first element of her prima facie case under the EPA because she was paid a lower salary than 10 male park managers during the relevant period of November 2001 through December 2003.
Mr. Clark, did they have those park managers divided into Division 1 and Division 2 or something like that?
There was a strange classification system, Your Honor, with regard to a classification with regard to Park Manager 1 and Park Manager 2 positions. But as the court knows, the relevant consideration at the prima facie case stage is what the actual jobs performed and not classifications or titles. And moreover, Your Honor, with regard to the titles, the city had a strange practice with regard to those titles because they claimed in discovery that park manager twos who were paid more than park manager ones were paid more because they had park facilities with aquatic facilities. Well, when we investigated the case further, we discovered that that was not true. The park manager twos did not have, there were many park manager twos that were paid more who did not manage facilities with aquatic facilities. So therefore, the classification itself was not bona fide and was not applied in a non-discriminatory manner. How many park managers all told? Your Honor, the evidence showed that there were about 32 park managers employed during the relevant time period.
How many?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. That causes me some trouble. I mean, why would the fact that there are 10 who are paid more, and presumably that means there are 23 who are paid less, create any kind of case?
Well, Your Honor, as you well know, if she can identify one male park manager that was paid more than her for substantially equal work, she meets her burden of proof under the prima facie case. Regarding the prima facie case of wage discrimination under the EPA.
I just don't understand why. I mean, it looks like my assumption is you've identified everybody who was paid more, so the other 23 are paid less. And it's very hard to see how one could say that sex was a factor under those circumstances.
Your Honor, our position would certainly be that the fact that she had more experience, she supervised more employers than most of the 10, we think that is significant in itself, and the fact that we have identified 10 of these park managers, male park managers, who were paid more than Ms. Sims, even though she performed the same work as they did.
But what if she were paid more than 32, 31, but less than one? Would you still have a case?
I think I would, Your Honor. I think the law is pretty clear in the fact that I don't think I have to show a pattern or practice of wage discrimination or that she was paid all male park, or I don't think I have to prove that she was paid less than all male park managers. If I can identify at least one male park manager, then the law is clear in this circuit that she's met her prima facie case.
Let me ask you a different question. What is the relevance of the size of the wage difference? It wasn't very great, was it?
The park size?
No, no, the size of the difference in the salary among the different managers.
The wage disparities, in some of the cases it was not great, in some cases it worked. For instance,
how about Robinson? What was Robinson paid?
With regard to Robinson, Robinson was paid in 2003. Robinson was paid $34,800. Miss Sims Stringers was paid $34,373.56.
Now, and what is that difference?
The difference would be, I think the difference was, Your Honor, I've made the calculation here. I think the difference was $426.66.
That's only about 1%, isn't it?
Yes.
Can you really build a case on a 1% wage difference?
Well, with regard to Robinson...
Because, look, it seems to me that the smaller the wage difference, the smaller the difference in responsibility of the jobs that justifies the difference, right?
Yes.
So if she were paid half what Robinson was paid, you'd say, well, did she really have only half of the responsibilities, etc.? But if she's paid 1% less, then why can't the city say, well, look, she's got, it's a tiny little park, the other Robinson's park is bigger. What do you need to show to justify a 1% difference?
Well, let's look at the case with regard to Robinson, Judge. As the facts clearly show, Robinson didn't even manage a park. Robinson managed no park buildings, no park facility. He didn't have a park. He didn't supervise any employees. Robinson came in 2003, Your Honor, was hired in 2003. Contrary to the city's own guidelines, it says a new employee is not to be paid higher than a current employee with the same experience and qualifications. The city's own records indicate that Robinson had the same previous work experience, 5 years work experience, as Ms. Sims Fingers, yet he came in making more money than her, even though she had been employed with this department for 11 years. Your Honor, and with regard to Robinson, as you well know, we identified, excluding the park managers that manage facilities with aquatic facilities, we identified five other park managers, including Robinson, who were paid more than Ms. Sims Fingers during the relevant time.
What is she seeking by way of damages?
She would be seeking appropriate damages under the Equal Pay Act, which would be the difference between what she received and what the similarly situated male park managers were receiving.
Well, what would that be?
Your Honor, we estimate that it depends on.
If you use Robinson, it's just a few hundred dollars a year, isn't it?
It would be a few hundred dollars in the case of Robinson. With regard to Mr. Webster, it would be substantially greater than that. As you can see, Mr. Webster had a salary of he was making $626 more than her in 2003, but he made substantially more than her Mr. Webster made $7,536 more than
Mr. Clark.
Sims Fingers in 2001. Yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Clark, if you want to reserve any time for rebuttal, this would be a good time to do it.
I will, Your Honor. I will reserve my 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Let me just ask you one question before you do that. So with regard to Robinson, now, as I understand it, he was hired to manage a park that was under construction. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So he had to be paid something.
Yes.
Now, what were his duties during this construction phase? Was he just sitting there, or did he have some kind of supervisory responsibility?
According to the department director, he went out and worked with neighborhood associations to build community partnerships. That was his testimony. That was the same thing Ms. Stringers had been doing at the Municipal Gardens Park for 11 years as a park manager.
Okay.
Working with neighborhood associations, building partnerships, the same thing. That's
okay.
What the job
all
was.
Right.
Besides
thank you.
Besides supervising employees and managing.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Goodness.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Ms. Clay.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The court has brought out some great points in relation to the city's case. Most significantly, the court points out that there were approximately 32 park managers in total. And Ms. Stevens-Fingers points out 10, actually, she actually started out pointing out 11 park managers who she compared herself to. It's important to note that when this first case first started, the 11 managers that she compared herself to included a park manager who managed over 4,000 acres of land and whose park generated over $3 million in revenue. On appeal, she's recognized that park amenities do matter, and she's dropped six of these comparators whose parks had aquatic features. Unfortunately, she still argues
What are these aquatic features? I was puzzled by that.
Some of the parks actually had a swimming pool, had an ice skating rink, had some type of water challenge facilities. They were actually just parks that had water features, essentially, that had a pond or had...
Well, I can see how a swimming pool would of course, make a big difference. You know, very, very responsible. Great responsibility if you have a swimming pool. But a pond? How big are these ponds?
Well, for example, there was Eagle Creek. It had 4,000 acres of land.
No, I know. But what's the smallest pond?
I don't have the acreage of the smallest pond available to me. But she didn't compare herself to one of the parks that had the smallest ponds.
Do they put boats out on these ponds?
Some of them they do. Some of them there were actual parks that had where people could go to the pond and do fishing or different things like that.
Any of them used for mosquito breeding purposes?
Not that I'm aware of, but I bet that happened quite a bit.
Now, your opponent particularly emphasized the Robinson. So Robinson's park, how large was that going to be when it was finished?
I don't know. I believe that it was going to be one of the larger parks that was in excess of 100 acres. I don't have the exact number of that figure for that park. However, he was hired based on his resume at the time. He was hired to build relationships, to create the reputation and the credibility of the park. He was hired to partnership with community organizations, and he also had a master's degree in human relations. So when his salary was set, it was set based on those characteristics. Sims Fingers Park was already established, and she was to maintain the partnerships that were already in place. In fact, her efforts to try to build additional relationships and other outside and extracurricular activities are what related to her subsequent demotion, in that she did things that were outside of the requirements of her position.
Ms. Clay, were all 32 park managers in either Class 1 or Class 2?
Yes, all 32 park managers were in Class 1 or Class, and either a Park Manager 1 or a Park Manager 2.
And how many of each are there?
There were more Park Manager 2s than Park Manager 1s. I don't know the exact cut breakdown, but there were female Park Manager 2s who made more money than Sims Fingers as well, and there were also male park managers who made less money than Sims Fingers. Of course, he didn't use those as comparators, but those persons did exist, and there were females who made more and males who made less. She, of course, used the 10 that would help the theory of her case. So I did want to point that out to the court, that there were females who made more as well.
Ms. Clay, your opponent says that those classifications though really don't mean anything. What is the purpose of having Class 1s and Class 2s, or whatever they call them?
Generally, the park manager 2s manage a larger park. And they also generally, not every single park manager 2, but generally the park manager 2s do have parks that have water features. So that's how the classifications work. They're also required to get additional certifications. They have additional training. And there's different, they relate to pay range as well. There's a different pay scale for a park manager 2 than there is for a park manager 1. And most notably, Ms. Sims Fingers never applied for a Park Manager 2 position, yet she compares herself to the salary range of Park Manager 2 managers.
But why is the size of the park particularly relevant? So why wouldn't the number of employees or maybe the number of people using the park be a better index to how much responsibility the park manager has? You could have a large park that was in an area that no one was interested in going to. It just had, you know, raccoons. So Why would that park manager be paid more?
Well, that could be. I mean, there could be a scenario where there was a park that required mowing, and that was the extent of the responsibility involved.
The biggest park in the world is Wrangell St. Elias National Park, and it has no employees at all.
Right. Well, the parks that Ms. Sims-Fingers identified as comparator parks were not parks that just included additional acres. They also generated substantially more revenue than her park. Her park generated $22,000 in revenue, and every park that she's compared her park to generated either twice the revenue as her park, and some generated even five times more revenue than her park generated. No other park that she's compared herself to generated less than her park generated. So in addition to size, there were additional responsibilities. There were schools that came and took tours of these parks. There's one park, Holiday Park, which was managed by John Schaus. There's a native garden there. There's an outdoor display called The Ruins. This particular employee was a naturalist. He had been named Naturalist of the Year by the state of Indiana, and he conducted school tours. Washington Park had a challenge course for local students to come and compete on and to do challenge exercises there. That park generated twice the revenue of Sims-Fingers Park. So she didn't just, and we haven't just identified parks that where there's just mowing going on. These parks actually had facilities and exercises and things that were in place that generated a greater responsibility than what was required of Sims-Fingers at her park. The city's pay system is based on, in addition to her inability to show that she's similarly situated with regard to her responsibilities, to her effort and skill required for her position, even if she could have met that burden, which she's not, she still has not been able to refute the city's affirmative defense that the salary disparities were based on factors other than sex. The city's pay system is based on the person's starting salary in another position. Quite honestly, some of these people started their careers in the private sector. Many of them took a pay cut to come and work for the city. Ms. Sims-Fingers started her career with the city and has worked her way up, but in honesty, the city does not pay as much as the private sector pays, and so she's not been able to have the increases or start at the same range as some of her comparators. The city's pay system is also based on previous education, work experience, specialized skills. I mean, how many naturalists are there out there? How many people have been named Naturalist of the Year? So he was recognized for that distinction. The pay increases are also based on merit raises that were given throughout the employee's career, of which Sims-Fingers has also benefited from. She started her career as a summer camp leader at approximately $15,000. Mark Webster started his career with the park as a supervisor who managed a cluster of parks, including her park. She eventually was promoted to an assistant park manager, which brought her to $26,000, which still had her, in some cases, worlds behind some of the people that she compared herself to. She received several merit increases, including a 5% increase for an excellent rating, but this was given to her while she was still in the position of a program designer. Some of the other comparators received, one other comparator in particular, received a 5% merit increase while he was already in the position of a park manager, too. So his 5% increase was much greater than her 5% as a program designer. Because she's been unable to show that she was similarly situated, that she performed equal work to those who she used as comparators, she also cannot show that the district court's factual finding was clearly erroneous. And based on that, and also her inability to refute the city's legitimate affirmative defense that the salaries were based on factors other than sex, the district court's findings must be upheld.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Clay.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Clark?
Yes, Your Honor, I'll reserve my rebuttal time. Your Honor, with regard to one of the important factors here is the fact that both the summary judgment record itself and the district court findings are devoid of any evidence showing that these five male park managers, the ones that did not have aquatic facilities, actually performed or actually were assigned these additional tasks. All you have, Your Honors, are the...
I think your problem is, I think you're veering into comparable worth, which, of course, we and other courts have rejected as a as a theory.
Your Honor,
these are heterogeneous jobs, right? Every park is different. And of course you could argue that, well, really the important thing ought to be number of employees. But that's the comparable worth route. That's like saying a nurse is worth as much as a truck driver, right?
Well, no, Your Honor, I'm not going at it from the point of comparable worth. I'm going at it from the law of this circuit, which says that two employees have EPA plaintiff meets the second element of the prima facie case unless the employer comes forward and shows that the higher paid employee was assigned additional tasks that made the job substantially different. That was the law in Day versus Cole Construction. In Stopka, the employer is required to come forward with evidence showing that these differences were actually assigned and actually performed by the higher paid male employees. The record's devoid of any such
evidence.
Thank
you, Mr. Clark. Your time has now expired. The case is taken under advisement.